today we'll look at the Prince of Peace. And I love peace. Peace is not just the absence of conflict. Peace is something more. Isaiah 9:6, "For unto us that child is born, the government will rest on his shoulders, his name will be called," and those names start rolling out, "Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting or Eternal Father," and then Prince of Peace. The journey that Mary and Joseph took, when they got to Bethlehem, there was chaos. What will happen to us? We need to kind of put that in context. I know we've done it before, but when you think about the context of what was happening here, they were in this place not because they wanted to be, but because a census was called. Come here. Go to the town of your birth. We're going to count you. We're going to tax you. And probably as they went, we know the back end of history. They didn't know the back end of history. But as they went, what will happen to us? What will happen to us? There was not peace in the crowd. In the counting, in the census, there was not peace. You had to record your name, your property, your occupation, your family. Very intrusive things. Things that we almost take for granted today. But very intrusive things. They were prying into personal business. Bring your family. Register them. We want to know what you have. Therefore, we can tax what you have. So it was not a peaceful trip. You ever been on trips that weren't peaceful? If you take kids anywhere, sometimes it's not peaceful. You get out of the city limits of Birmingham, say, "We're almost there. I got to stop." You know how it goes. It's not peaceful. Or if it's an early morning trip and everybody gets up and they're sleepy, tired, they get at each other and there's irritation and all that kind of stuff, and it's not peaceful. I've been in places where it is not peaceful. The census was not an optional thing. It was a must-do situation. So it was not peace as far as the counting, but also the community was not at peace. They were very upset, talking about things. And why are they doing this? Why do we have to go here? Bethlehem, that first Christmas, would not have been a peaceful place. The hustle and bustle, yes, but a lot of anxiety. The family had needs, and the families were there, and the families were together. It was such an area of non-peace that the place was full. So full that it was hard to find a place to stay. And we understand what it's like to be in a spot where you can't find a place. As the homes filled up, as people rented out, as the inns, maybe even a sheepfold, we understand that they had run over, people staying in barns, stables, and so forth. Well, there was also childbearing. And so here we are in this full place, a place you didn't really want to be anyway, but you were made to be there, with all sorts of people who are worried about what's about to happen. The hustle and bustle and the fighting over rooms, and now you're having a baby. Not a peaceful situation. But the Bible promised, and the Bible said, that when Emmanuel came, he would be the Prince of Peace. And when I think about peace, I think about the 99% of the time we are going to choose peace over pain. In order to find peace, though, sometimes you have to get through the pain. In order to have peace, sometimes you walk through the valley of pain. Childbirth can be grueling, and it doesn't matter how the mother looks during childbirth. I have never heard a mother, and you may have, but I've never heard a mother at the end of childbirth say, "You know, really, this is not worth the pain." At the moment of pain in our lives, we can't sometimes perceive the peace that is going to come. We were born in a bad state. We were born separated from God. Sin had marred and broken the relationship we had with the Lord. And the Lord reconciled himself to us by reaching down and having Jesus come. Jesus came in the form of a person, came in the form of a baby, but grew to be a man. And died on the cross so that we might be reconciled, so that we don't stand on our own record, which is bad, but we get to stand on the record of Christ. And by the righteousness of the shed blood of Jesus Christ, we can come and have peace. Not only our hearts, but peace with the Father. A definition of peace. I don't know how you define peace, really. We do, in this world, think about peace as everybody sitting down. No war. And that is a part of peace. But peace is really not just the cessation or the lack of hostility, the absence of conflict. Peace is more than that. In the Old Testament, there's a word. You know the word, the Hebrew word for peace. What is it? Shalom. Peace be with you. May the Prince of Peace be with you. The word pictures health, wholeness, harmony, completeness, fullness in Christ. We are at a lack of peace when we have a lack of Christ in our lives. In Isaiah chapter 32, we see the justice who dwell in the wilderness and the righteousness abide in the fertile field. And it says, and the work of the righteous will be peace. We, as ambassadors for Christ in this world, are to be ministers of peace. Not just everybody quit fighting, but I want to tell you how you can have peace in your heart. You can be reconciled with the Lord. I don't get into pop psychology at all, really. But I did read something, and it was a little psychological study that came out of Duke University a few years ago. And it said this, factors which contribute to peace of mind. I don't know about you. I'm a detailed person who likes to check things. Go check, is the door locked? Check it 10 times in order to get peace of mind. And maybe that's obsession and all that kind of stuff. But let me mention some of the things. An absence of suspicion or resentment brings peace of mind because nursing a grudge causes severe unhappiness in the human condition. And I really see that as a scriptural thing because a lot of us, we hang on to bitterness. We hang on to things and we have a lack of peace in our life because we're still holding that grudge. We're still at war with somebody else. Maybe at war with God, but maybe at war with somebody else as well. Or another thing that was said, not living in the past, or maybe an unwholesome preoccupation with mistakes and failures of the past. I don't know if you live there. I do. I make mistakes and I lament those mistakes again and again and again. Why did I not choose differently? Why didn't I do differently? And that brings a lack of peace in your life because the Lord wants you to know that you can be cleansed, the slate wiped clean. You can move forward from now and not be bound in the bondage of the past. Or how about not wasting energy fighting things I cannot change? Or maybe even at times going into self-pity, you know, when life gives you a raw deal. I'm going to promise you this. Now, here's a promise I can make, and I guarantee this. If you live on this earth any length of time, there will be sorrow and misfortune in life. Can you say amen to that? So you know that's coming. How can you have joy and peace in the midst of sorrow and misfortune? I can't, but the Lord in me enables me to do that. Sometimes we expect too much of others and even ourselves, and there's a gap between expectation and reality. Anytime I get into any premarital counseling, I'll say this. Your expectations need to be realistic. Unrealistic expectations are relationship killers. And I mean, I tell you what, sometimes, you know, I expect Christy to be superwoman. And I could just be average Joe on the recliner, her to be superwoman. Sometimes we have unrealistic expectations. We even have that of kids. And maybe kids of parents at times. But there is some old-fashioned virtues we find in Scripture. In Scripture that help us have peace. You know what they are. How about love? The love of Christ. Or the faithfulness we have toward one another. Even sometimes it's not stated in Scripture, but it's seen in Scripture. Sometimes the ability just to have humor with ourselves. The Lord did that. We talked about that a few weeks ago, about the Lord laughing and the Lord having a smile. Through tears and sorrows, there's also smiles. So another thing here, Christ is the Prince of Peace. He brings peace to our lives. He's the one who makes peace between God and man. We were in a desperate situation. We were in a place where we could not get out of the pit. But Christ came and bridged the gap between us and His Father. He simply said, there's only one way to come to my Father, and that is through me. If you get me, you get my Father. If you miss me, you miss my Father. Jesus came to bring peace between us and God. In Isaiah 53, starting with verse 4 and 6, surely our griefs He bore Himself. Our sorrows He carried. He was stricken for us. He was smitten and afflicted for us. Our transgressions caused Him to be pierced on the cross. He was crushed for our iniquities. All of the things that we had, He took the punishment for us. Now we can get into questions of why there needed to be a sacrifice paid, and that is simply answered because God is holy, God is perfect, and He demands us to be the same, and we can't be the same. Therefore, in order for us to become like God, acceptable to the Lord, there must be a sacrifice paid, and our sacrifice wasn't good enough. I tried to stand on my record much of my life. I never missed church. I was really good. I had a moral fiber to me. I maintained certain disciplines. But my record would never get me reconciled with the Lord. Instead, the mercy, the grace that the Lord showed toward me was the only thing that would reconcile me with the Father. Romans 5, you can read all 11 verses later, but we have been justified by faith. I believe and I'm justified. I'm not justified because of what I do. I believe and I'm justified. Therefore, what I do brings glory to Him. So many times I can think of places in my life, times where I've been sort of outdone with myself. Will I ever get this right? Will I ever get this right? This world is tough to live in at times, and I may never totally get it right. But praise the name of the Lord, I have not been justified by my getting it right. I'm justified by the Lord. He also makes peace in this life possible because of His saving work. Jesus said in John 16, "The time is coming and has come when you will be scattered, each to his own home. You will leave me all alone. Yet I'm not alone, for my Father is with me. I have told you things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." I was thinking this week as we celebrate Christmas, and I heard somebody mention this morning, and it's just really been on my mind, how when somebody passes from this life and they start to go into eternity, I think that suffering, that curse, only happens once. And then when we're born and we move into eternity, we start to see that Jesus overcomes everything in this world. Yes, we overcome a lot now, but we will even overcome the thing that none of us can get around, and that is the physical death. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. We see life come and we see life go on this earth, but we are eternal creatures born of Jesus. He will bring peace when He comes again. We know that. When He comes again, there will be peace. And there will be the casting out. I read an interesting little poem the other day, and it was by this man. This man was in a Civil War era, and he had a son, and the son was injured in the war, and the son was close to death. And the man went to see his son, and he came back, and he wrote a poem, and basically the poem said, "There is no peace on earth. The song does not ring true to me." And it was Henry Wadsworth Longfellow who wrote the poem. And in the poem and in the grief, he said, "There is no peace on earth because my son is lying on the deathbed." There is no peace on earth. And if we get to the place where we take all of our circumstances and we allow them to defeat us like that, there will not be peace in our life. But Jesus came to bring peace, not only now, but He will bring eternal peace when He comes again. The Bible says the wages of sin are death. Romans 6:23. The wages, something I've earned, brings death. I was born with bad DNA. I was born with a fallen nature. Therefore, the wages of me just being born like that are death. The verse has a great big word in the middle, though. It's the word "but." The wages of sin are death. Death physically, death spiritually, separation from the Lord. But the gift of God is eternal life. I love buying gifts. I love getting gifts. But gifts really don't last long, do they? They're fun, but they don't last long because they're temporal. But the gift of eternal life obviously lasts for eternity. The wages of sin are death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Thank you for that gift. So what will the Prince of Peace do in our lives? First of all, He brings peace between you and God. Do you know the Lord? It starts right here. Someone said it is not possible to have the peace of God without peace with God. And how true is that? How can you have peace in your heart unless you have peace with God? It starts there. God will not leave the guilty unpunished, Exodus says. We are enemies of God. The wages of sin are death. But the gift of the Lord is eternal life. Believe on me, Jesus said. If you believe on me, you will have everlasting life. God does not ignore sin. Therefore, Jesus came to pay our punishment for sin. He never has and he never will just ignored sin. And instead, he paid for sin. In the Old Testament, men made sacrifices. Aren't you glad we don't do that now? But if I can picture for a moment this baby who came, who grew to be a man, who hung on a cross, stabbed in the side, bloody, nasty, stinky death. Horrible death. Among others who were dying. Left to rot. That was the sacrifice. And after that one, there needed to be no more sacrifices made. Never again would we need to sacrifice because the one perfect sacrifice had been given, had been made. He sacrificed himself once and for all, summoning all other sacrifices into the sacrifice of himself. The final solution of sin, Hebrews 9:26 says. Jesus brings peace not only with God, but he brings peace with myself. There are a lot of times we have just a lack of peace here. The war is here. It is not really with other people. It's here. One time I had a real estate deal and I called a guy, I called a broker, and I started talking to him about that. And he started screaming at me through the phone. And I didn't know why. I mean, he was literally screaming. And I was talking with him and he was belligerent over nothing. And I hung up the phone and I was quite stunned and I sat there for a minute. Oh my, I don't know what's going on. This guy is unhinged. I didn't do anything. And I started thinking, and in my young adult self, it's easy to kind of run from stuff like that. And I started thinking, he's really not mad at me. He's mad at somebody else. He's mad at himself. He has some issue and he's taking it out on me. And I remember sitting in a class in seminary a few years later, and a professor said, the hurtee, the one who does the hurting, generally hurts more than the one who is hurt. And we lash out because there's a war here. Jesus not only brings peace with us and God, he brings peace in your life. I want to lay my head down at night and have peace. I have nothing to hide before the Lord. He has forgiven me. He has cleansed me. All the junk in my life, I don't have to carry that anymore. And the guilt is not there. I want to tell you something that's really true. God made you. God loves you. God has paid to redeem you. God wants fellowship with you. I think about 1 Peter 2 in that writing there that says, you are a chosen race. You are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his possession. He wants fellowship with you. Brings me to the final thing here. Jesus not only brings peace between us and his Father and peace in ourselves, then he brings peace with us and others. I've seen families turn on a dime. When Christ comes in, things just happen. Brothers that hadn't talked in years, all of a sudden Christ comes in and reconciliation takes place. Mothers and fathers who've been distanced for years come together because of Christ. Nations come together when the bond of Christ is held up. Our ability to have peace of God can be hampered when we have conflict with others. We know that. Relationships sometimes are tough. Sometimes tough. We can't get through all sorts of barriers and there's walls that are put up and we know how that goes. But I want to tell you, God can bring reconciliation even into the most difficult of relationships. Christ can even take relationships that are a little bit one-sided and he can give you enough peace so that you can help that relationship be reconciled even when the other person doesn't know Christ yet. Christ does many great things in those relationships. Paul said this, Romans 12:18, and boy, we ought to really hear this. If it be possible, as much as it lies in you, live peaceably with all men. As much as you can help it, live peaceably with all men. It's a liberating concept, and it brings great peace. Sometimes I have an addiction, and my addiction is to approval. It's hard to have peace when you're addicted to approval. Sometimes I have problems because I want to be an independent person. And it's hard to have peace when you want to be independent because I can't accomplish some things. I can't reconcile myself with the Lord, but Jesus has done that for me. Not everybody can live in total victory, but God has given me the ability, because of His Spirit walking with me today, to overcome things I never thought I would be able to overcome. I didn't do it. He did it in me. Do you know the Prince of Peace? Wouldn't that be the greatest thing in this season, 2018, to know the Prince of Peace? Peace with God, peace with yourself, and then have peace with other people. What a gift.